Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Long sets up high, stares at Lindor, the payoff pitch. Biento hits it high in the air to left field. It's got legs. It's deep. It's back near the wall. It is gone! Mark Biento has added yet another chapter to what is becoming a ridiculous postseason for the New York Mets. He's tied the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 305, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. As we are now 2 days away from opening day, a lot of Juan Soto stuff. You heard Aaron Boone tell him that he doesn't look, you know, he looks terrible in the uniform. I mean, this is where, they're going to play. We're going to get into the season, and hopefully we'll forget about all this stuff as we go along. But we won't, because we're going to have to tag each other, right? That's it. Juan Soto goes 0-for-4 on opening day. Every Yankee fan is going to be sending messages to all their Yankee fan friends about how, you know, hey, game one of the regular season for us last year, he threw guy out at the plate, won the game. For you, he's 0-for-4. If he hits a home run, ha ha ha. We're the big brother. Like, it's just, we're going to have fun all year long with these two teams. Both should be good. Both have weaknesses. I talked about the starting rotation for the New York Mets. And I'm still worried about it. The Yankees rotation, obviously, is not a strength of theirs either. I am excited about the Yankees offense. I think the Mets offense is going to be dynamic, has an opportunity to be. And I'm really looking forward to Beatty. I got to tell you the truth. For right now, to start the year, obviously to see Juan Soto in their uniform is going to be the exciting thing, the first thing. You want to see Clay Holmes start opening day. As I've told you, I'm a big Clay Holmes defender. Even Evan said, come on, he's not your guy. I'm like, he's my guy. Clay Holmes is my guy. Clay Holmes will always be my guy. You can't fight for someone the way I fought for Clay Holmes and then just turn it off because he's a Met. I mean, I literally argued with everyone, was called stupid, high and low from everybody, including Met fans, by the way. Just to remind you, when I was defending Clay Holmes, how stupid I was. As now he's your number one starter to start the year. And I'm very fascinated by what his season is. Clearly he's not going to be what he was. He's not going to win the Cy Young and be what he was in spring training. I mean, that's highly unlikely. But, I mean, can he be a successful pitcher? I mean, he's one of those guys. You look at this rotation, you look at this Met team, the difference in what they can be and what they have to be if they want to compete with the Dodgers or, you know, a disappointing season is Clay Holmes is going to be as telling a point of that as anybody else. I am very fascinated by Clay Holmes' season. I know he's got the kick change. He's added that. He's been absolutely dominant in spring training. But I'm concerned that he's going to be able to battle through on days he doesn't have it, because he hasn't been able to show that. And that's coming from a Clay Holmes defender, because he's got great stuff. But when it's not there, he struggles. And that slider hangs, and it goes a long way. He gets obsessed with it. You got to see that, too. Like, he's been a two-pitch pitcher who gets obsessed with one or the other when they're working. Or when the sinker wasn't working, he gets obsessed with that slider. Like, he's going to have to avoid that. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to Beatty, because I was having this conversation with Evan, too. Like, as a Met fan, if I told you right now that Jeff McNeil never has a starting position with the Mets all year, Jeff McNeil is a utility guy, spot guy, DH, you know, has a decent amount of at-bats, but never has a starting spot. He's never the everyday this or that. He just, you know, he has, you know, 350 at-bats or something after missing a month and playing significant here or there. You know, maybe someone goes down with injury and he steps in. But if Beatty takes second base and McNeil never finds a home all year long, is that a positive or a negative for the Mets? Like, to me, that's an enormous positive. If McNeil never has a position for the Mets this year, that is an enormous positive. I think that's what you're looking for. So I'm looking to see if Beatty can get the season started and never give up that second base job. That's would be a huge thing for the New York Mets. To go along with the rotation, hopefully you're getting Manaea back soon. You'll see about Montas, but honestly, if Griffin Canning is pitching well, if Sang is healthy, they're going to go to a six-man rotation, sure, at some point. I don't know when, but at some point, probably when Manaea comes back, I would think they go to the six-man rotation and leave Blackburn as your, you know, swing guy, your late, you know, long relief guy. As the Yankees signed a long relief guy of themselves with Yarbrough, who pitched very well against them in his time with Tampa Bay. I'm interested to see what he could be. Lefty guy. Kind of, when I think of Yarbrough, you know what I think of? I think of like the opener. I feel like he was one of the guys, whether he was the bulk guy that followed up after the opener or he opened games for Tampa Bay, for whatever reason, I associate him with the beginning of the opener process and project in Major League Baseball that started with the Rays and is still around a little bit, but not nearly as prevalent as it was two or three years ago when it kind of took baseball by storm. But it's a good little signing for the Yankees. He's been a positive pitcher, and he said something we're going to get to in a second that speaks to where the Yankees pitching lab is as everyone knocks the organization. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Tommy in Astoria, though. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. I love it. 2 days, man.
That's 2 days away. This is, I mean, our best friend is back, Tommy. Our companion. Every day. Every day. You don't have to ask what we're watching tonight. You don't have to check the schedule to see if they're playing a back-to-back or they have 3 days off. Like, that's it. You know damn well the Mets are playing tonight. The Yankees are playing tonight.
Let me tell you how crazy I am as a Mets fan. Mm-hmm. I was actually rooting for the Dodgers in those two games in Japan, thinking that the Mets by some chance may be fighting for the Cubs for a wild card. That's how insane. That's how I'm swear to God.
I believe you. While the rest of us want to see the Dodgers completely fall on their face, you're absolutely right. The smarter play is to
win 120 games.
You're 100% right. The smarter play is to let the Dodgers win 150 games and don't let the Cubs win any.
Before I make my soda point, I'm like you. I'm the pacing in front of the TV guy. Like my family thinks I'm nuts. I can't help it. I've been this way all my life. I can't calm down. A game's against Miami in April. I'm sweating them out.
Yep.
It's insane.
Before
I make the Soto point, you're talking about Holmes. He walked by me on Amazing Day. This guy is built like a house.
He's a massive man.
He's amazing. He's got arms and shoulders on him. He's like 6'5".
Yeah.
But the thing was, the Soto thing, the Yankee Soto thing is so played out already. But you know what I love? I love the old-fashioned, like, who's better, the baseball, who's better argument. Yeah. As a Mets fan, I'm on your side. People, you know, do you know what Judge, over 162 games, his average is 52 homers, 117 ribbies, and an OPS of over 1,000?
Yeah.
Acuna, Friedman, these guys are excellent ball players.
Excellent.
They're not Judge. The only guy I would even think of, if you gave me a choice of taking anybody for this upcoming season, the only guy I would even think about is the kid Witt on Kansas City because he's a Gold Glove shortstop and he's only 24. He can get better, but I'm not taking anybody else.
He's the only one you would consider. If I was picking a team, it's Ohtani and now look, if you're building a team,
just for this year,
Soto. I would still take him over Bobby Witt. Ohtani's the only one I would consider.
Right. And I'm a Mets fan, but I would take Soto because first of all, you got to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Over 162 games season, Judge is going to do more. And I'm telling you, I was kidding with Fleegs. I said, Fleegs, you know what's going to happen. The Yankees and Mets are going to play in a World Series, and you know Judge is going to go nuts. He's going to go. Because I hate to be the team that – it's inevitable. This guy, he's just too good.
Yeah.
And as a Met fan, it's hard to dislike this guy. You know, the guy's a stand-up guy. He's a classy guy. You know, he represents the city well, the sport well. I hate to see this guy latch with the moniker of a loser. He's just not. He's a great ball player. And it's the knocks he gets from even Yankee fans, it's ridiculous.
I agree.
I mean, I've never seen anything. And one other thing, and you know what's funny? I'll leave you with this. Cause, you know, Yankee fans, they're up in arms if you attack the Yankee pinstripes and tradition. But yet, 90%, maybe not 90%, but more than half the Yankee fans hate Steinbrenner. They hate Cashman. Mm-hmm. They hate Boone. They're down on Judge. I don't get it. I mean, why? Can you explain this to me? Why they hate guys who just every year give them 95 wins and a position to win a championship?
Tommy,
as a Mets fan, I just answer me that one question.
Tommy, if I could answer that one question, it would save me a lot of grief because I fight with these people all day long. Like, yeah. I'm with you. I completely agree with you. But there are Yankee fans out there who they haven't won a championship since 2009, so the rest of it is just you can't. I mean, and there are mistakes made along the way.
Of course,
right? There are guys, they hold on to prospects too long and devalue them, or they couldn't get Gleyber or Sanchez to make that next step, and they kind of washed out, and they haven't developed any players. They haven't developed any starting pitching. You know, they have an old roster, which bothers me because they're not old, but and thank you for the call. They passed on some superstars. But yes, I agree with you. Every franchise this side of the Dodgers over the last handful of years would love to have the track record of the New York Yankees. Like, it's just, like, you just view it differently. Like, I think a lot of Yankee fans can't see the forest through the trees. All it's about is winning a championship. That's it, right? And I get that. I get that. And there's a level of frustration that's warranted. I'm not saying you have to love everything they do. Think Brian Cashman's the greatest GM ever and Aaron Boone's the greatest manager ever. Like, there's a... Or that Hal does everything he can and is the perfect owner and makes no mistakes. Like, there is a level of frustration for a lack of championships since 2009. There is no doubt. There's a level of frustration. The Yankee fan, for the most part, goes way too far with it, considering how consistently they give us... Like, think of another team... In any other sport, anything. And people are going to say, they're not any other team. They're the New York Yankees. I know. Because George Steinbrenner told you that while they were winning championships. And so now it sticks forever. Like, I get the Yankees don't still promote that other than Brian Cashman going along because he doesn't want the Yankee fans to kill him. But, like, we all know how difficult it is to win. But, like, I mean, what other team and what other sport? Like, over the last handful of years, like, people call this Boone era, like, a disaster. Right? Let's just go to the Judge era in 2017. Oh, what a disaster. This Judge window, he's not going to win championship. What a disaster. Name another professional sports team. So it's 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So it's been 8 years. Name another franchise in professional sports that could go 8 years, make the playoffs in seven, be in 17, 19, 22. Half of those years be in the conference championship, the AFC championship, the NFC championship game, the ALCS, NLCS, make it to the semifinals and be in one Super Bowl, one championship, one World Series, one NBA Finals, whatever. 8 years, seven playoff appearances, four trips to the semifinals, and one trip to the finals. Won the division four times. Like, name another franchise that would out and out call that a disaster and a failure, and the organization has its head up at you-know-what, and they're a freaking joke, and the GM needs to be fired, and we're settling for mediocrity. Like, these are all the things we hear. Not another professional sports team would consider that a bad run. Not a single... The Met fans would be thrilled with the last 8 years of the New York Yankees. Now, you want to win a championship. Absolutely. But part of that, like, I laugh. We kill Judge for not being good in the postseason. Kill him. He's a terrible postseason player. He's a terrible postseason player. All right. Is that, like, on the way the Yankees build their team, if Judge hit in the postseason in the World Series last year, do we think the World Series would have went differently? Absolutely it would have. I'm not saying they would have won, but they would have won more than one game. If Judge was the same player during the regular season of 22 that he was in the ALCS against the Astros, do they get swept in that series? Do they win that series? They have a better chance of it. If Cole actually shows up and pitches in the 21 wild card game, do they make it through that series? Do you know what happens from that point on? Yeah, I mean, like, who knows? Like, we call this a Judge-Cole window, and Judge and Cole haven't performed in the window. And yet we say it's like some faulty building process. If your best player, your all-world player that you've built your team around because he's the best hitter in the game, doesn't perform in the postseason and you lose, it's not that you necessarily weren't good enough. You didn't play well enough. And we're going to call it this Judge-Cole window. Judge has got to be a part of it. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And we talk about it like the Yankees were, like, people look at last year's Yankee team and say they were terminally flawed. And that even though they got through an easy American League, they weren't built good enough to win a championship. 2022, they won 99 games, won their division, got swept by the future champion, Houston Astros. The Yankees weren't good enough. They weren't built good enough. There was a flaw with the team that was always going to get them. They had no chance. They weren't a championship caliber team. That's wrong. They were a championship caliber team. You know how I know? Because the Arizona Diamondbacks were in the championship. And the Texas Rangers the next year lost how many games? They won a championship. You know why? Because Corey Seager went nuts. The Atlanta Braves won a championship without Ronald Acuna. You know why? Jorge Soler went nuts. Jock Peterson went nuts. Those guys aren't all that great. Look at the contracts they got. Look at how they've bounced around. They went off in the postseason. The Yankees need Judge to go off in the postseason. Or at least be himself. They need their players who got them there to win 99 games to perform. They didn't hit. That doesn't mean the team had some was built with some underlying, inevitable flaw that was always going to get them. Just means they didn't play well enough, and Judge has been a real problem in the postseason since 2020. So, I could understand as a Met fan looking on why the Yankee fans are so upset. I don't know. But right now, Met fans are having fun with the idea that their farm system sucks, the future sucks, and that's why Juan Soto decided to go with the Mets. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about anything else. It was about, a little bit of family because our owner and his wife are the nicest, kindest, most gentle people that you've ever met, and they present and provide and project this incredible family atmosphere that it's impossible to, once you get in their orbit, to remove yourself from that orbit. It's a warm, cozy, just feeling of love that overcomes your body that you can't escape. And it's because the Yankees, he saw the writing on the wall that the Yankees are going to be bad in the next handful of years. Okay. We will see. That has to play out before you're right. You can give me all the things you want about all the prospects. Okay. Yankees have had failed prospects. The Mets have had some failed prospects. You think everyone's going to come up and be great for the Mets because they have a couple of guys at the top of the farm system better than the Yankees? And then honestly, do they? Do they? The Mets right now have better players than Dominguez, who's just starting now. I'm going to consider him still part of the farm system until he is on opening day and plays. But they have someone you know is better than Lombard. They have someone you know is better than Spencer Jones. Like, the depth of the farm system is in better hands right now, no doubt. The farm system has just replaced the Yankees roster. The starting catcher, the starting shortstop, the starting pitching, the left field. Like, right now, third base. And my point was, like, if you're going to just look at the Yankees and say, I don't know what they're going to be in the next 5 or 6 years, I think you're being stupid. Again, Juan Soto can feel however he wants to feel about the Mets. You can feel however you want to feel about the Mets. You can call me at 888-808-1019 and tell me the Mets are in better standing and they're going to be better in the future. And we can have a discussion on it because it's a fair thought. It's a fair comment. The Yankees' last 30 years don't mean they'll be great the next five or six necessarily, but you can't look at, or should I say, the last 30 years don't mean they'll be better than everybody else. Doesn't mean they'll be better than the Mets. Doesn't mean they'll be better than the Dodgers. You can make a strong case and a strong argument that the Mets are better set up for the near and long-term future. We can have that discussion, but you can't just blatantly say the Yankees are screwed. There is nothing to support the theory that the Yankees are screwed and that moving forward with the Yankees is a place you don't want to be. That's just, there's nothing, even when they're bad, they're better than almost everyone.
Lynn likes the open floor, spinning, puts it up and backs it in. Yes. Sensational play for Jeremy Lin.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Lin's sanity continues here at Madison Square Garden.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. As we get ready for the baseball season to start on Thursday, the New York Giants and their quarterback situation. If my dream's not dead and that Aaron Rodgers is still a possibility as being reported, that would be... Can you imagine that room? Aaron Rodgers, Jameis Winston, Shedeur Sanders. Hook it to my veins. Let's go. I'm all in on that room. You got Aaron Rodgers. If he gets banged up a week or two, you go to Jameis Winston. You get the quarterback learning from both of them as he gets ready to take over next year. That is prime time. And speaking of prime time, no video of it. And so, I mean, is something today actually said in today's day and age? If there's no video of it, no sound of it, did it actually happen? But apparently Deion Sanders told a told the media at some sort of an event when asked about where he wants Shedeur to play, what he expects to happen. Hopefully it's New York was his response. So hopefully it is. As Cam Ward had his throw day, his pro day rather, and apparently looked excellent to the point where he looked over at the Tennessee contingent and told him he was solidifying his spot as the number one pick in the draft. I think right now, it feels like a pipe dream that the Giants would be able to move up and do that. I can't imagine getting Cam Ward anymore at the top of this draft. So that's why I'm still willing to move up to second and make sure I get Shedeur. And right now, I mean, the more I think about it, the more, you know, Cleveland can still take him and call his bluff. Because I do feel like that comment is kind of directed at Cleveland. Like, when this first happened, when the season first ended and you started to get into the draft prep a little bit, like after the bowl game. It was kind of a foregone conclusion. A lot of people felt like he was going to, you know, Prime and his son Shedeur were going to pull this Eli Manning, you know, John Elway stuff. And I think Evan said it was 21 years ago that Eli Manning did it, 21 years from then, that John Elway did it. And of course, Deion Sanders wore the number 21. So it's almost like, you know, the stars are aligning where it makes sense for Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders to kind of navigate and push where Shedeur is going to go. And clearly, I think they want him to go to New York, but I also think they're making it clear that they don't want to go to Cleveland. And if that's the case, then to me, I'd be afraid of every team in this draft. I'd be afraid of every team in this draft who could use a quarterback looking to trade up. And so if I'm the Giants sitting there at three, only needing to move up one, like that's a spot I would go. Like you could have Vegas at six looking to trade up. You know, you could see New Orleans from nine looking to trade up. I mean, San Francisco's done it before. How much money does Brock Purdy want? Miami, dealing with Tua and his injuries. Like a lot of teams right there that I just gave you could be willing to move up to number two and try and take a quarterback there. If I'm the Giants, I try to secure that spot, secure Shador, and move up to number two. Let's get to the call. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Morning, C-Mac.
Good morning.
Imagine Shador, Rodgers, and Winston.
That would be some quarterback room.
I mean, that would be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Jameis doesn't throw 30-35 picks. And hopefully Rodgers can keep his head off the McAfee show for 1 week.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't both. If Rodgers is there, I wouldn't worry about Jameis Winston throwing 30 picks because he's not going to play as much.
No, he wouldn't play that much. But if Sanders is there, can you see a new head coach named Prime?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously going to be the next thing. And maybe that's why he's directing it to New York, because he wants to kind of coach in New York and have that spotlight along with his son. I definitely could. I don't know, about, not this year. I don't think they would do that now.
This year. Yeah. But down the road, maybe a year or two down the road, I can see that happening.
I definitely could see that happening. But
what about the baseball season? What are we looking at?
Well, it starts on Thursday. What are we looking at? We're looking at two teams that should be very good. We're looking at a Yankees rotation that's going to start the year.
Max Reed, Rodon.
Yeah, Rodon. I think Rodon is a key. Like, as we look at it, like maybe, you know, I'll do the top five players for each team or something in the next few days. I think Carlos Rodon is right up there as one of the more important pieces.
But he is one of the more important pieces.
There's no doubt. I mean, he's going to have to be.
Head on his shoulders. When things go bad, you can't lose it. He's got to keep his head on straight.
Yeah.
Every time he loses it, that's the end of it. And Juan Soto, everybody says Juan Soto didn't take the money. Yeah, he took everything that Steve Cohen offered. That's why he went to the Mets. I mean, would it surprise me? No, it didn't surprise me, because that's what he was about. He wanted the money, he wanted the suite, he wanted everything that Uncle Stevie offered, and good for him. Let's see what he does over there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree with that sentiment mostly. I think that was a big proponent. I do think that it's fair to say that part of it was he chose Steve Cohen and he chose the Mets and wanted to be with the Mets. I mean, there had been rumors, there's videos of him talking about how well he plays in Citi Field. Like, maybe this is just where he wanted to be. There's part of that, but he did take the biggest number that we know of. I know he has been on record saying that others have offered him more. I don't know if that was a guaranteed offer or a, you know, hey, whatever the Mets do, we'll continue to add to it. Whatever the case may be, Juan Soto definitely took the money, took the perks. That all had a lot to do with it. And right now it's just odd to me that we continue to do whatever we can to try and get away from that and push it towards everything else besides the money, when having the money to do it is the most important thing. Like, let's be totally honest. Like, you're not going to sell every single guy on the atmosphere and the family. Like, it's about having the most money to be able to give those kind of contracts. The Mets are now playing in that world, and the Met fan wants to, like, dismiss it as not the reason. Why? Embrace it. Embrace it is the reason. It's okay. Like, it feels like we're, like, so desperate to talk about how great the franchise is, that there's been such a turn. And the Met fan has gone from expecting everything to fail, waiting for every shoe to drop, to suddenly being confident in who they are, who the team is, who the owner is, who the GM is, where they're going, the direction of the franchise, that we have to just project that and run away from the idea that you got the richest owner in baseball. You shouldn't run away from it. It's okay to get players just for money. That's good. Whatever the case is, he chose the Mets, and we need to stop caring about it so desperately. But as we get ready, listen, we're going to get to see Juan Soto in a Met uniform for the first time. Aaron Boone didn't like the look of it yesterday, as the Mets and Yankees played to a tie. Spencer Jones with a home run, Nimmo with a three-run bomb in the ninth to tie it. But, I mean, both of these teams right now head into the season. Both of them, to me, listen, I know Met fans don't want to acknowledge a weakness at all. I'm concerned about the rotation. I'm not overly concerned where I think the team can win with this rotation, but to what level can they win? And this is this a good enough rotation for the richest owner in baseball, what they're doing, what they're trying to do, trying to catch the Dodgers in a National League that has the Braves, the Phillies, the Padres, the Dodgers. Arizona scored the most runs in baseball last year. Like, you've got a lot of good teams in the National League, and that rotation, I'm sorry, it scares me. Even Keith Hernandez said that the rotation is questionable or troubling or whatever word Keith talked about. Like, right now, spring training's great, and they have the lowest ERA in spring. So what? Griffin Canning has pitched to a good spring training ERA his whole career. It doesn't mean when the lights are bright that that's what's going to happen. Last year it did. This year it would scare me. But the offense should be fully loaded. Like, me and Evan were doing the Yankee Met Bet episode of the Rico Bronya. And first we started with like a bunch of just generics, right? Rotation with the best ERA. Who's going to have the better ERA? The Yankees or the Mets? Which offense is going to score the most runs? And I wouldn't make that bet. I am very excited about the Yankees' offense. I am. I'm starting to really get excited about it. They have to produce and be good. I mean, obviously, but if they can play to their level, if they can give us what we expect them to give us, like, the bottom of this Yankee lineup is far better than it's been and far more athletic and can do a lot of different things. And Ben Rice right now answers the question at DH. And I'll tell you this. I love Giancarlo Stanton to the point where you're not allowed to call up the show and bash him. I've banned bashers. You are not allowed to call up this show and bash Giancarlo Stanton until he can't perform in the postseason or doesn't perform in the postseason. And as much as I want him back, as much as I want him back for the postseason run, if you give you, I would sign right now in blood for an August return. Him fully healthy, ready to go in August. I'd sign for it in blood. But I'll tell you this, Ben Rice, considering the amount of right-handed pitching they face in this division with hardly any lefties, if Ben Rice has really turned the corner, if Ben Rice, again, spring training, we've seen it before with Greg Bird, if Ben Rice is legit and his 10 pounds of muscle are going to really help him and he's going to hit more home runs and he's more comfortable now and he's going to make that real leap into everyday player, the Yankees are better off than with Giancarlo Stanton. I'll be telling you honestly, they're better off. One, Giancarlo doesn't hit right-handed pitching as well as I would think a hot Ben Rice will see. Right, I mean, tough righties are tough for you. Again, he's a different player in the postseason. Over the course of the regular season, he goes through a lot of funks. He gets hurt in and out of the lineup. Right? Ben Rice is more flexible at the DH spot. He can catch in an emergency. He can play first base. He's, as a lefty, he's more comfortable against right-handed pitching. Hopefully, you know, at his age, you're not expecting the same kind of injury-prone nature. Like, you can make a case over the course of 162, if Ben Rice is the player he's been in spring training, you might be better off over the course of the regular season with him as your DH and part of this roster than Giancarlo Stanton. Now, again, come postseason time, different animal. I need Stanton in that lineup. But over the course of 162, with considering how often he would go out and come back and the weeks it would take for him to get his swing back before when he came back, like, you can make an argument Ben Rice, the lefty, with his ability to play multiple positions and move around and give, you know, give a day to Goldschmidt at first or, you know, be an emergency catcher to move things around and pinch hit, you know, for your catcher later in the game and not worry about losing him if you want to pinch run for the second string catcher because you have an emergency catcher in Ben Rice. Like, he provides a lot of flexibility to the offense, to the lineup. He is obviously, you know, hopefully a good hitter, provides flexibility, younger, can run more. Like, they might be better off if they found that answer in Ben Rice. Plus, maybe then next year, if Ben Rice is your guy and has a great year, you don't have to go out and spend $500 million for a first baseman. You could spread that money around in different places and feel satisfied with who's at first. So Ben Rice is going to be a huge piece for this team, not only this year, but moving forward, if he is an answer. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Frank in Long Island. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm a Giant fan, but can we stop pretending like the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl next year? Let's just go with Sanders.
Okay, when did I pretend the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl? Who's pretending the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl next year?
You know, let Winston start. Let him play. He's entertaining. He makes the Giants watchable, which they haven't been for 2 years.
Yeah, I don't really care about watchable. I care about winning. Winning is watchable.
Yeah, but again, that's why I'm saying they're not winning the Super Bowl. So we're getting better. And then let's draft Hunter or Abdul with 3 and go for another quarterback.
No. I'd rather not. I'd rather get the best quarterback.
Yeah, but you don't know that he's the best quarterback. Well, I'm going to go with what
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane think.
Well, it's true. You have to. You got no other choice.
So if they think Shadua Sanders is the best quarterback, that's what they should do.
But yeah, but you don't know that these guys are going to be any good.
Yeah, of course I don't. Hunter or Carter are going to be any good.
No, but they're more.
Yeah, probably.
They're hot.
Yeah, probably. But again, so what? Is Dexter Lawrence good?
We don't know.
You don't know if Dexter Lawrence is good? The defensive tackle of the New York Giants. You don't know if Dexter Lawrence is good?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, he is.
Dexter Lawrence, he's a really good player, right?
I know. I thought you said Trevor Lawrence.
No, it's okay. Dexter Lawrence.
I got you. Okay.
All right, so he's really good, right?
Yes.
Has he impacted the Giants winning?
Not yet.
Andrew Thomas, pretty good. I mean, he's been hurt, but, you know, good left tackle when he plays. Did he even impact the offensive line play?
Well, because he was out for most of the year.
I'm just saying, no other. You can draft a shutdown corner, great. You know, it's Bradbury is a good enough cornerback to be with the Eagles. Like didn't help the Giants win. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, you got to get the quarterback in the room. He'll help your offensive line as well. I need a quarterback. I don't need to kick that down the line because they're not going to win a Super Bowl next year. You got to get the quarterback in the room to even begin to think that. You know, I know the Giants aren't going to win a Super Bowl next year because they don't have a quarterback. If they had one, I might feel differently about it.
And they could take a shot at Milton, and he's just as
much
promise as the other two guys.
What makes you say that? Because he played.
Because you don't know what any of them are.
No, I know, but that doesn't mean it's the same level of promise. It's not. These are the top two guys in the draft prospect. Milton was a what pick? Milton what? Because he played one good game for New England? We all think he's got the same level of, you know, high. We don't know. I'm going to go with what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll think. I don't understand it. They could have drafted Milton last year. They could have drafted a lot of quarterbacks last year. Well, you were all screaming, don't take a quarterback, don't take a quarterback. Now, I want Joe Milton. Because he played one game with New England and looked okay in it. So, that's the guy. Could have drafted him in the third round. I don't understand why, you know. Oh, they're not good enough anyway. Don't draft the quarterback. That's the idea of they're not good enough for a quarterback. I'll never understand that thought process. They're not good enough for a quarterback. That's just so get really good and then good luck finding the quarterback. Maybe you'll get lucky like the 49ers and draft him in the last pick of the draft. Maybe you want to see what the odds of that are. Good luck with that. They got lucky after they moved up for a quarterback that they believed in and failed on. You could fail on quarterbacks, absolutely. You could fail on everything. You failed on Evan Neal. You could argue you failed on Kayvon Thibodeau. What did that do for you? You failed on Eric Flowers. How did that set back the organization? They drafted Saquon Barkley, incredible player. What happened? You got to take the quarterback, man. You can't mess around. You need the quarterback. If they think Jackson Dart is the best quarterback in this draft and they think they can get him later, fine. Fine. If they think Milrow is worth it, draft Shadur Sanders and then draft Milrow. I'm not kidding. You got to find the quarterback. Draft Shadur Sanders and then still trade for Milton. I don't care. Kenny in Queens. What's up, Kenny?
Hey, Shadur. Let's hope Rice has a great year. Let's hope Clay Holmes has a great year. Mm-hmm. So we're all enjoying this. I mean, it's New York baseball, yes. Being a Mets fan, you're a Yankee fan, but let's hope they all do well. It's so much more fun when they're doing well. I hate when people want to put other people down. Well, the other day, I mean, yes, fine. The Dodgers, we hate them. Yes, you hate Boston. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But let's hope that these guys all do well. It makes it so much better for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm with you. I hope everyone does well. I hope that both teams are really good. There's no doubt about it. I hope both teams are really good. But, yeah, right now, because of the Juan Soto more than ever, it is the opposite team, the fan base rooting for the opposite team's demise. There is no doubt. The Met fan would like nothing more than to prove they're right, that they're the better run franchise now. They're the Kings in New York. I mean, and even I saw as I was just entering the room to do the show and I was watching SMY, apparently Brandon Nimmo said that it's important for them to be the they want to be the number one team in the city. A question that, you know, Lindor kind of ran away from when he was on with BT and Sal. But Brandon Nimmo's playing into it, that they want to be respected. They want to be the number one team in town. Like, this is right now, this is where it's at. And if the Yankees fail while the Mets succeed, that clearly proves it. That would be it. That would erase 30 years of the opposite. 30 years of the Yankees being the best team in town. As long as if the Mets make the playoffs and the Yankees don't, it changes everything. The Mets win one championship, it changes everything. It erases 30 years of success. And suddenly it's a Met town because they have Juan Soto and they have the better team. And for the Yankee fan, they desperately want that not to be the case. They want to laugh in the Met fan's face and say, ha ha, you're the Mets. Doesn't matter who you get, same thing. Oh, the Jets think you're going to get Aaron Rodgers and suddenly be great? Same thing. Now, Juan Soto's, you know, I don't know, 100 years younger and in the prime of his career. But I'm just saying, like, right now, Yankee fans desperately want the Mets to fail so that they can justify still being big brother and laugh at all the Met fans who claimed otherwise. And the Mets are dying to see the Yankees fail so that they can solidify their claims, stomp on it, and run around wearing We're the Best Team in the City t-shirts that I'm sure someone will make. Instead of doing what you suggested, what I think we should all be doing, rooting for both teams to be successful because it is fun. But, you know, I think it's important. Like the Mets, Brandon Nimmo said it. I think there's a feeling around the Mets that they've been, you know, the second team in the city for a long time and they're tired of it. That takes winning. You could say whatever you want. You can sign whoever you want. It takes winning. They have to go out there and do it. And it'll start Thursday. But right now, the lineup should be really good. And I'm excited to see Beatty. I really am. I'm excited to see Beatty in this lineup. I'm excited to see if Vientos can build on his rookie season and become the stud that he's shown he can be. And I think his postseason performance even makes you feel even more confident about that, the pressures that and the way he handled it in last year's playoffs. I expect him to be really good. You know, Lindor, I expect Lindor to be really good. I wouldn't expect another MVP caliber season, but and he gets off to these slow starts. I think that would be key to watch how Lindor, and he's had a poor spring, but again, that doesn't really matter. But I'd like to see Lindor get off to a better start than he's got off to in previous years. But like ultimately, I think this lineup is really deep. You look at it, you've got Winker as your DH along with Marte. You've got Alonso back in the lineup. I think Beatty's going to be a big piece. Vientos, that infield is, you know, if Beatty is a hitter, think of the offensive prowess of that infield. Now, I don't know how good Beatty's going to be defensively. He's been in spring really good at second, made some diving plays. He's even shown his progressions at third is stuck. He's been really good defensively, but I don't know if you can guarantee him being a really good defensive second baseman just yet. But look, think of if Beatty hits the way he's hit in spring and the way he's hit in spring training, and the way he's hit in the minor leagues, rather. You might have to go back to the 09 Yankees to have a better offensive infield. Think of the offensive infield you have there. Now, again, Is Alonso a flawed player? Yeah, he's kind of that one-trick pony that the other caller was trying to call Aaron Judge at just home runs. But think of the power. Think of that offense, Vientos, Lindor, Beatty, Alonso. That is an amazing, powerful infield. Think of how good. Now, again, I don't know how defensively they're going to be at third and second. And Alonso isn't a gold glove caliber first baseman, but certainly solid and isn't going to hurt you. But think of how powerful, how many home runs do you get from that infield? Like Vientos, as long as he's healthy, should be good for 30 at the bare minimum. Same thing for Lindor. Pete, if healthy, is good for 40, 45. And I think you could be looking at a 25 home run hitting Beatty. I mean, you're talking about 30, 30 is 60, 40 is 100. You can get 130 home runs out of your infield. I mean, center field is going to be a defensive position mainly. Siri's not the best of hitters, but very good defensively, and he does have some pop. You've got Juan Soto in right. I mean, I just gave you 130 home runs in the infield without talking about Juan Soto yet. This lineup has a chance to be really powerful and really deep. With, you know, Winker and Marte and Nimmo out and left. With Jeff McNeil, arguably, if Beatty sticks as a utility infielder, outfielder, that, you know, guy off the bench who can give you a good at-bat, put the ball in play. Like, this lineup should be devastatingly good. I can't think of another one that I know is going to be better than the Mets other than the Dodgers, or I feel confident could be better than the Mets other than the Dodgers. That's it. And the Dodgers are dealing with, I mean, Mookie Betts is saying his body is eating itself. I don't know if you've seen the Mookie Betts thing. He's lost 30 pounds in the last month. He started to feel sick 2 days before going to Tokyo, and he hasn't been able to keep anything down. And he's lost like 30 pounds, 25 pounds. And he's going to all kinds of doctors, and he's talking about his body's eating itself. That's scary. But as long as Mookie Betts, and hopefully he has a speedy recovery and gets back in the lineup, I mean, that Dodger lineup is, all right, devastatingly good with Otani and Betts and Freeman. But outside of the Dodgers lineup, who provides a more powerful, deep lineup than the New York Mets right now? That lineup is the best in baseball outside of the Dodgers. I can't think of another one as good. The bullpen should be, you know, fairly solid. We're a little bit worried about Diaz's velocity, but I think it's a little early to overly worry about that. And it's the rotation. That's the weakness of the team. As of right now, same thing we went in with last year with the Mets. The weakness of the team is the rotation. Now, last year, they were able to answer all those questions and turn into one of the best, if not the best, rotation down the stretch of the year. I will be shocked if they do that again. I'll be shocked if they do it again. That is a very difficult thing to maintain, doing it the way they're doing it. So far in spring, they've answered every single question. And McGill had a great spring, and he's in the rotation. I think he deserved it. David Peterson's been brilliant, really, since he came back from injury last year. Clay Holmes pitched to a .89 ERA in spring. Or was that his whip? Was one or the other, .89. I mean, either way, he's had an incredible, dominant spring. You're still waiting on Manaea. Kodai Senga is getting into the swing of things. You're going to have a six-man rotation. But like I'm worried about the rotation. The back end of the bullpen should be okay, should be solid. And the lineup should be devastatingly good. If the Mets are going to win games, like the Yankees pivoted to defense and pitching, and then they lost Cole, and they lost Luis Gil, and now that pitching isn't as good. But I do think the lineup can be better than people think, but it can't, like, if the Mets and Yankees play to their expectations and play to their levels and their limits, the Met lineup should be devastating, while I'm hoping the Yankee lineup can be pretty damn good and really athletic and do a bunch of different things besides just hit home runs, where the Mets can hit home runs up and down the lineup.